Here's an example. The Constitution says, you probably know this, you want to be president, you have to be 35 years old. Why should we have a limit like that? You may think an age limit is a good idea. You may think we shouldn't really vote for anybody under 35, that probably the best presidents are going to be over 35. Maybe you're right, but think about what having this in the Constitution does. It means that the authors of the Constitution, the people who wrote this phrase into the Constitution, are saying to future generations, you want to elect a really terrific 34-year-old, you can't do it. You're out of luck. It's not allowed. Your hands are being tied by people from the past. In writing a constitution like this, the authors are saying, basically, you know better than future generations. It's kind of audacious when you think about it. Why does dead James Madison get to tell us what we can and cannot do 200 and some years later? So let's talk about this particular provision where presidents have to be 35 years old. What's the point of that? Why have that? When the U.S. Constitution was written, only one state constitution had an age limit for governor. All the other states just trusted the voters to choose the best candidate, whatever the age. Why does the federal constitution not want to trust the voters? The answer to that is that the framers, the authors of the Constitution, were afraid of what they had been through with the British system. They were afraid that the U.S. presidency might turn into a hereditary office, the kind of office that exists in a monarchy, where you're ruled by one family, generation after generation. With presidents, the framers were afraid a president would hand the office to his son. And they were afraid the voters would be okay with that. You vote for George Washington, he serves for a while, and then young George Washington Jr. is on the ballot. You vote for him, pretty soon it's George Washington III on the ballot. And you vote for him, and so on, and so on. This really worried people back in the 1780s. In truth, George Washington didn't have any biological sons. He had adopted his wife's grandson. And when people were choosing the first president of the United States, that was a point in his favor. Vote for George Washington. He won't hand the job off to a young son. The framers of the Constitution said by the time you're age 35, you have a reputation of your own. You have established yourself. You're not just the son of somebody, you are yourself somebody. Even with this provision in the Constitution, even with the age 35 requirement, some people continued to worry about a hereditary office. That's why it was a plus for George Washington not to have a son. In the 1800 presidential campaign, the people who were supporting Thomas Jefferson said, hey, you can really trust Jefferson because he doesn't have any sons. He only has daughters. Whereas his opponent, John Adams, had sons. One of the John Adams sons, parenthetically, did go on to become president of the United States, but he was over 35. He was in his 50s by then, John Quincy Adams. The point of all this is there is this thing in the Constitution, the clause here, that restricts us from voting for people who we might want to vote for. If a presidential candidate is not 35, we can't elect that person. And it's there, the provision is there to address a problem that does not exist now. We are not afraid the presidency will turn into a hereditary office. We've got our problems, that's not one of them. So can we get rid of that provision in the Constitution? Can we give ourselves a greater scope of freedom to choose as president whomever we want, even if it's a candidate who's 34 instead of 35? The answer is yes, we can do that, but it is really, really hard.